Hi, everybody, and God bless you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. It's such a joy and privilege to be able to share God's Word. And I have to say, I haven't talked to Kathy or Dan or Bob, but maybe God did, because each one of them has touched on what God put on my heart to share with you tonight. And so, it just thrills me when that happens, because our God just loves us so much and He wants us to be close to Him. So how about I'll just get started, okay? Well, in the senses realm, we're often exposed to new ideas and new activities. We learn of places we had never heard of before, and we hear of foods we've never tasted. And if we find that new thing interesting enough, we go beneath the surface to learn more. And if we then find it really interesting, we get even more involved. So let's say it's a sport. We may invest in equipment and appropriate clothing. We may join a gym or a team or a club. Let's say it's a business. We may invite others to join us in what we are hoping will be a prosperous venture. We may invest much time and money into seeing the business become successful. Let's say it's a new food or eating plan. We may invite friends and family to join our newfound treasure. We may even construct a new eating regimen around certain foods. Or let's say it's a new TV show. You tell everyone who will listen about the merits or the exciting aspects of the show that make it worth it for you to spend your time to invest in watching. You know who the characters are and the intricacies of the relationship between the characters. You rarely miss an episode, and you may even binge watch episodes you've seen before when you have time to spare, or even when you don't. We may spend hours upon hours on the internet researching and learning everything we can about our new item of interest. We may become so enraptured in this new thing, whatever it is, that our friends and family go into hiding when they see us coming, because they already know what the topic of conversation will be for the next few minutes or hours. Anybody who's ever known anyone who was involved in multi-level marketing, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yet the truth is that whatever thing we can become enthralled with in this world, interesting though it may be to us and others, that thing is only temporal. If we will stop to consider that in the beginning God made man in His image, the drive that we have to learn and investigate and become involved in various things comes from Him. It comes down to the basic human desires of hunger and thirst. God also made man as a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. So let's take a brief look tonight at how hunger and thirst manifest themselves in each part, and how it can bring us into a greater relationship with our Father. So first we'll look at body, which refers to our physical body. When we are physically hungry, we will get up and go look for food, right? A healthy person does not just sit and expect food and drink to simply show up when they are hungry or thirsty. They will get up and go sit down at the dinner table, or open the refrigerator, or drive to the grocery store, or to a restaurant to satisfy their hunger and thirst. They do not expect the food and drink to come to them. Once the food and drink is made available, they must make the effort to ingest it, or it will merely remain unconsumed. Next, soul refers to our mind, will, and emotions. When we are emotionally hungry, we will seek after whatever is most emotionally desired. It is when the hunger and thirst in the soul realm is unfettered by the Spirit of God that man gets into trouble, because the heart, untempered by the Spirit of God, is desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The man who is only body and soul still has the basic desires of hunger and thirst, and the only way that he will be able to live the life that God has designed for him is to be born again of God's Spirit. Every one of us were in this category at one time. Every one of us was born subject to sin and the hunger and thirst of the sinful nature. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, we read, "For as in Adam, all die." What takes us from being dead in trespasses and sins to having the Spirit born within? Two major components are involved, and those are hunger and thirst. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 reads, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." In John 6, we read in verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." In John chapter 7, starting in verse 37, we read, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." How do hunger and thirst work to bring a man to a place of being born again? Psalm 145, verse 19 reads, "He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." So God knows what is going on in the heart of every man. Romans 10, verse 17 reads, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The bread of life must be put before a man to allow him to determine if he would like to eat. Someone must speak the word regarding Christ, and it will appeal to the hunger in the man's soul, the hunger that God placed there for the man to know him. If the man is hungry, he will eat. The faith stirs in his heart to the place that he does what we read in Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9-10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The end result, the man is now saved. But this is only the beginning. Now the man has spirit that is to rule the body and soul." A goal of having the Spirit is mastery over the body and soul, but unlike the new birth, this does not occur in a moment of time. It happens over the lifetime of the believer. But how does it happen? Well, Colossians 2, verse 6 says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? You heard the word, you believed it, confessed it, and you were saved. As we have received Christ Jesus, we continue to walk in him. Because it's God's desire that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to come into a loving relationship with him. God in his word has given us some very thrilling truths that are available to us today. And here's some examples. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. If you're interested in healing, there's something to investigate. Romans 8:10 and 11 says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. What does that mean? Hebrews 4:16 is another example of a promise. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How do we come boldly unto the throne of grace? And one more we'll look at is Galatians chapter 2, verse 12. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? What does it mean that Christ liveth in me? What is it that you're hungry to know? What is it that you really want to understand about who you are as a born-again child of God? How would you like to deepen your loving relationship with the Father? How much energy do you want to invest to get as deep an understanding of the things of God as you might when you get involved in your favorite sport or TV series? Are not the things of God the most thrilling of all things we could ever investigate? How hungry are you? Each of us can only answer that question for ourselves. Are we willing to take the time to dig deep into God's word and let him show us the treasures that are hidden there? Surely we won't be satisfied to sit at the table and wait for someone to spoon feed us a few morsels, right? We'll dig in with gusto to eat and drink at the Lord's table and allow the Spirit within to teach us the depth of God's word. While you listen to the song that's about to play, please take the time to consider what it is that you would really like to know more about from God's word. Write it down. And then write down what you are willing to do to feed that hunger and quench that thirst. For example, you want to spend, let's say 15 to 30 minutes every day to search out the topic in the word or investigate a teaching on the topic. What you write down is between you and God, but be prepared to be faithful to what you write and watch God open the greatness of the riches of his word to you. Draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to you, just like he exhorted us in the manifestations and what Kathy prayed for. God desires deep and sweet fellowship with us. And he has buried treasure in his word that he is willing and able and desirous to share with us, but we have to be hungry to eat and thirsty to drink. The song that Barney's about to play is Crucified with Christ by Phillips Craig and Dean. As you listen, think about the priceless member of the body of Christ you already are. God bless you.
There's no greater sound.